welcome back to the Mondays Expert Podcast for the 24th of May 2025 for Doomben Cup Day. Now, I do apologize, my voice might be slightly croaky and I might have a random cough throughout this podcast. Both my daughters have been sick this week, so just a heads up there that they've likely passed it on to me. Bit of a mixed weekend last weekend. $100 strategy was very good, returned $219.30. And then in terms of the staking plan, there was 14.5 units spent for a return of 20.5. So I was quite happy with the return, but it was one of those ones that what could have been. Lady Maestro was that horse that I picked in Echuca. It was sensationally back Saturday morning. Odds went up at 9 a.m. and it went from $34 into, I think, $2.20 favourite, and then got rolled on the line, which was a bit disappointing for me. I got about $5 about it, but certainly didn't get the $34. I think she'll certainly win a maiden, so you can probably follow her moving forward. El Muzillo kicked things off perfectly for me. Was very hesitant to launch into her given the heavy track, but she obviously relished it and won very convincingly. I thought Pisces was probably a bit plain coming up the inside ground there, and I don't think it was J-Mac's best ride. Cool Archie obviously got the better of Gallo Nera and Grafter Burners in the two-year-old race up there. They now head to the Size Produce, and I think Grafter Burners is going to be very hard to beat considering he was probably three or four wide the entire trip. We have managed to obviously jag the price about Grafter Burners, but Cool Archie was just simply awesome there. Sedilius, now, for those that took that price that I sent around on Wednesday, the 270, I think it was, bit of an airy watch for a good portion of that race, but Class shone through, which was great, and he ended up winning by quite a big margin now. Now, there was talk that he was going to head towards the Q22, but that was squashed this week by Adrian Bott, and he'll be now sent for a spell, and he'll be coming back this spring for a Cups campaign, which is pretty exciting. excuse me. Then Sunshine and Paris obviously defied that wide barrier to win very, very well there in the Doomben 10,000. Rothfire was simply awesome. So big shout out to Richie Yates there and his connections to the horse. I think he heads now to the Stradbroke, I think, or the Kingston Smith. Either way, wishing him the best of luck. And then you've got, you've obviously just got to look out for Chris Munce up here in the Queensland Carnival because he is absolutely flying. Payline, I think, was 101 to 1, and it's come up the inside, and it's just one ran awesome. Can't question it. As for the ones in the market, I thought Overpass hated the ground. Benedetta didn't like the ground. I thought she was unlucky in run as well. She had to go check back off heels, and by the time she did get clear air, Sunshine in Paris was already off and gone. What did surprise me, though, is how she ended up from barrier. She ended up, obviously, off midfield from barrier four. I was hoping she probably, with the blinkers, sit a bit further forward in run, but that didn't work out. And then, obviously, Dedabil, who did all right, and Schwartz, he's now off to the breeding barn. Soft Love, obviously, was beaten by that barrier in Denise's Joy Stakes there at Scone. I ended up backing Overfull at $60 to win, $12 to place, and it's run fourth, got nabbed on the in the shades of the post, which was a bit annoying for me, but that's betting. And then Cabalas, I thought, was unreal after being gelded. Unfortunately, he bled from both nostrils, so he'll be out for 3 months with a ban. Firestar, who I've been on all this prep except for the last run, was very, very good into a third. And then obviously you had Basilina, who won the Andrew Ramsden, now gets a free ticket into the Melbourne Cup in the spring. Really good ride there. I thought Dean Yendall just matched it perfectly. You can probably sack Berkshire Breeze now. He was given an absolute peach from that wide barrier by Ethan Brown. Loomed up at the top of the straight and just battled away. And then finally we had Fearson, who was one of my value bets of the weekend. Missed the kick again, which was really, really annoying. And then seeing the instructor come off where I was hoping Fearson was in run hurt me a little. I thought he finished off really nicely. I'm just hoping, he can get out of the barriers next time in 1,400 metres. Next start looks a really good, prospect for him. So now we head to Doomben on Saturday. Now the rails are out 2 metres. They predicted a small amount of rain between Monday and Friday this week. And as of Thursday night tonight, we haven't had a drop, which is great. We've had really good drying weather as well, so I think we'll probably be in the soft five, good four come Saturday, which is awesome. Now, in terms of the track pattern, they were coming off the rails on Saturday, and I think lanes 3 to 9 looked the places to be, so you kind of wanted to be midfield or forward of midfield and with a bit of cover. So it wouldn't surprise me, obviously, with the rails coming slightly out, to see a similar sort of pattern on Saturday. Obviously, just given the shape of Doomben being a tighter track than that, I guess, of an Eagle Farm, just be mindful of that. And obviously, midfield is obviously a preference for horses. However, you can win from coming off midfield and as a backmarker as well. Now, the first race we want to touch on is the Group 2 Roses for the three-year-old fillies over the 2,000 metres. That's race 7. Now, I'm expecting a bit of a below-average tempo here. I think outside of Filia, Hurry Curry and Dame Commander, I don't see a whole lot of speed. Now, obviously, this is the main lead-up to the Queensland Oaks, which is in, I think, the 7th of June this year. I don't know the exact stats. I could have, should have done my research, but I didn't. But I'm pretty confident that this is probably the best, if not the only, main lead-up race to the Oaks. You'll probably see the occasional horse come out from a provincial race down in Sydney or something along those lines, but I think this race has delivered a lot of the winners over the past 10 to 20 years. Now, Benagil, or Benagil, however you want to pronounce it, heads the market there around the $3 mark after the demolition job in the Australasian Oaks down there in South Australia. She gave Pilaminia, I think is how they pronounce it, moving out a galloping lesson. So I think the horse, despite that barrier, I think has got those two covered. We've then got Filia, who I thought was really great up on speed there in that Princess Stakes over the mile. Lovely tick over trial there at Deegan over the 1,200 metres there on the 13th of May. Does get, which is a good thing, gets K-Mac, which is interesting considering he did jump. He's jumped off a horse who he's ridden a whole prep in Verona Rose. Now, she contested that ATC Oaks in Sydney behind Treasure of the Moment. Crossed the line that day with Beltiel, who I thought was good in the rough habit last weekend. So you could probably tie in that there. But the fact that K-Mac's kind of jumped on Filia is an interesting push within itself. But obviously the horse I don't think is going to lose anything with Craig jumping on. As I said before, moving out was comfortably beaten by Benagil last start, but does get a hungry Nash, which I think is a good thing. But the barrier is a bit sticky, particularly given obviously how I think Doomben's going to play on Saturday. Churchill's Joyce, to me, looks a really good staying filly in the making, but I hate the setup for her here. She was, I thought she was good in the Queensland Guineas behind depth of character, but the problem is they went 10.7 lengths slow to the 800, and they sprinted home. So for me, that step up in trip to the 2,000 metres is not, she probably doesn't have a great foundation for that. Had it been a more hard fought mile, I think I would have been, I guess, more keen to, I guess, see her there because this is her first go at 2,000 metres. Given the fact that she's bred to stay the trip, I think she'll get there in time, but whether or not she gets there now, who knows? Excuse me. God, I do apologise for all the coughing and sneezing going on there, but obviously racing never stops. Obviously, we've got Dame Commander there also, who's, I think, improved every rating she's had since the start of her career. She's got a really good platform for this. They ran a real above-average run. Race there in Sydney against the older horses. She's drawn well here, gets Rachel King, who's a great front-running rider, and she's certainly won for the quaddies and multiples, as is Jenny's Meadow, who I think is another that I could probably entertain at big odds. Now, I thought she was great under the circumstances there at Caulfield. They went slow to the 800, and she really picked up the leaders picked up the pace from the 8 to the 4. So, mathematically, you look at the stats, she probably couldn't have won that race, but she did fly home really well. The barrier isn't ideal, but Ethan Brown obviously offsets that, and she's had two runs at 2,000 metres before, so she knows she sees out the trip. And the last one I could probably make comment on is Full Hayo, I think is how they're pronouncing it. How often do you see J-Mac on a 31-1 shot now? I think he trialled this horse and he's ridden it twice now, so I guess that's a push within itself that this is probably his Oaks horse. I think you've probably got to include her off that because you don't often see him on a big roughie. But in terms of the race itself, I find it difficult to look outside of Benagil, but I know that her grand final is the Group 1 in 2 weeks, and they probably don't want a gut buster for her here. So whether or not there's intent to win this race or just to finish off nicely, I guess we'll have to wait and see come Saturday. But you could probably float small plays on Jenny's Meadow and Dame Commander, and I think you'll be in the finish or at least cheering them home closely. We then head to race 8, the Group 1 Doomben Cup. Now, it's a weight for age over 2,000 metres. I think we know what sort of pace we're likely going to get here with Pride of Jenny in the race. She'll obviously boot up from for Barrier 1. I think Lindemann with Nash will be close along with Boys D'Argent and Elias potentially rolling forward from that wide draw. Kovalika will be out the back as he always is with Klondike, and I think Faulkner Park will be midfield with Militarise and Maya Baron, and then Miss Jolene and Antino just behind them. Now, I think given how I anticipate Doomben's going to play on Saturday, I'm going to want to be on a horse who's likely settle midfield. I know Pride of Jenny is going to go helter for skelter, and I guess she's going to have company than she did there in that race there at Caulfield last start. And I think it's going to be more similar to what she got in the Australian Cup. So she's certainly not going to be getting her way up front. And I think, to be honest, I think she's going to be tiring late over that 2,000 metres. I think what she got away with in that QE2 was Blue Murder, but it was a great front-running ride from Declan Bass. I can't question that. But I think it's certainly her outer limits, that's for sure. Now, when assessing this race, I was really mindful looking at the form from, I guess, the Hollandale, where Antino simply dominated that field. Now, obviously, that's probably one of the main lead-ups to this race, and I think it's delivered 5 or 6 of the last 7 winners or something like that have come out of it. But given the fact that the weather was just simply shocking there at the Gold Coast, there was so much kickback, it wasn't funny. No horses made up ground from the back. I think you can be forgiving of a lot of those horses back in the field. And obviously, you can see that Buckaroo has now been spelled instead of contesting this, which I think was his main target, because it was such a gut-busting run. So given the fact that we're going to have a much better deck on Saturday, I think it brings the others back to him. And I don't think Antino will, I guess, be as favoured as he was there on Saturday. Saturday in that Hollandale a couple of weeks ago. Now, obviously, Antino is a very, very good horse on his day, but he does need races to, I guess, be run to his to suit, I guess. Now, obviously, Tony Golan and connections of Antino will be very, very happy that Pride of Jenny is in this race. She's obviously going to ensure a strong tempo, which is something that we know he loves. Now, the fact that Blake Shinn obviously had the option to start his suspension last week, so he forewent the ride on Swartz to ride Antino here, suggests that's a bit of a push there. So I think he's quite confident in the horse, and obviously he's put up those two massive figures with Shinn on board as well. Then obviously got Pride of Jenny. She was great at Caulfield, carried the big weight, and somehow the bookies gave us $2 or greater. On her day, she's so good to watch. But the concern I have for her is, like I've said, is she's going to have pressure up here like she did in the Australian Cup. And I just don't think she's been able to match it with the top liner since that, I guess, end of career spring, where Tony Otterbrey threatened or said that she was going to be retired. So for me, I'm willing to risk her, and I wouldn't be putting her in the quaddie. Then got LES, who's obviously one of the horses that did cop that kickback in the Hollandale. You go back and look through the stewards report, the course was coughing post-race, so one would suggest it copped a bit of turf in the mouth. He will have a good SP anchoring him here in this race, but I think at around that $8.50 mark, or even $10, I think you can see around some places, that's a really, really good bet. I was obviously hoping for an inside draw for him so he could park in just behind Pride of Jenny, but that didn't eventuate. But I think he's 3 from 3 second up. He's got a great record at this distance, and I think he's a ripping chance with Timmy Clark on board. We then have Faulkner Park, who I'm a big, big fan of also. Loves the Doomben track and going clockwise. Really like his effort there in the Hollandale, where he was ridden out of his comfort zone. He was much more forward in run. I think given the circumstances from that Hollandale, he's another one that I think you can certainly be forgiving of, particularly when he's going to be on top of the ground here when that was on the heavy. Now, he's actually 0 from 6 on soft and heavy, so he's had all his wins and good performances there on good decks. So I think he's going to get that on Saturday. And that's pretty much it in terms of winning chances, I think, from me. In terms of a tip, I think Antino could, if he just obviously leapfrogs from what he did there in that Hollandale, I think he's going to be incredibly hard to beat and probably stamp himself as a genuine weight for age middle distance horse. But given those circumstances in the Hollandale, I'm willing to be forgiving of Faulkner Park and Elias, who I think are great chances here. And if you are playing a quaddie, I would be including Kovalika. Only reason is this is a race that he'd probably pop up and win, and obviously he gets J-Mac, and then Boys Jar Gentes also. Now we had to race 9, the Group 3 BRC sprint over the 1350 metres. Now, the race shape here. I've got a good pace expected, but I think I know a star will use that inside barrier to take up a position. I think Attractable from barrier 11 will be there, along with Rise at Dawn, Willado, Rock Ribbed, and potentially Yellow Brick. I think Orton, will, if he makes the field, will be parked midfield with War Machine, Matt Gelate, Freedom Rally, and Transatlantic. And I think the rest will just find their position. So it sets up for a really, really good race. Now, this race has a free ticket into the Stradbroke, so there is a bit on the line here for some of the horses. War Machine has always been one of mine and should be undefeated this prep. First up, he was beaten by the barrier, and then second up, he was just simply awesome, winning comfortably over the 1,400 metres there at Caulfield in BM100 grade. Now, the market absolutely loved him that day, and the market continues to absolutely back him here, all in at the Stradbroke. He's $51 into $11 now. The booking of Shin is a big push, and he maps perfectly to sit just midfield, where I suspect it will be the place to be. Deserves to be favourite in this race, and he's obviously been met with a bit of support now. I think he's $4 into $3.60. We've then got Rise at Dawn, who's first up, where he boasts a very, very good 3-from-3 record. Trial at Caulfield before he made his way to Queensland was electric. He led them up under Zara. He was then pressured by Heraldus, who's a very, very fast horse. He just knuckled down nicely just to I guess, breeze away in that last 50 metres to win by about a head. I actually gave him a stiff there in the Doncaster, where I thought he was awesome, going down by half a length to Steffi Magnetica. Barrier 13 is probably a little bit sticky for him, given his race pattern, but I think he's a ripping chance here too, and a ripping, ripping chance in the Stradbroke if he gets in into the field. They got Coleman, who I really don't know what to do with him. Loved his trials leading up for his first up run there for Waller and in the Victory Stakes. I thought his run was really poor. He ran a distant 12th. He was beaten by 5 lengths. So he does get the services of J-Mac, which is a big thing. Gets a step up in trip, which is good. He's obviously been up in Queensland now, so he's probably settled in here. But I think he's under the odds, to be honest. They got I Know A Star, who's backed in hard in all-in markets, has been for the Stradbroke. I think it's into about $11 or $8 even now from that $51 quote, similar to War Machine. No one obviously missed the trial there on the 9th of May. He won by about 8 lengths. First up record, however, 0-from-6, which is a bit of a query, but I think it'll be prime knowing Bjorn Baker, have it ready to go. They got Freedom Rally. Question is he going as well as he has been in the past? I personally don't think so. I thought he had a really good run in transit in that Victory Stakes, and he never kicked on. Draws the same gate here. He should get every chance, but for me, I think he's one you can leave out. You got Transatlantic, who obviously comes here second up, where has a perfect record, 3-from-3. Loves the distance, loves the track. I thought he was really, really good there in that Archer behind Lubrication and Comrade Rossa. I thought he was just great. I think he'll take benefit from that run, but he does have obviously the wide draw to contend with. We've got Rock Ribbed, who's in winning form, but this is a big step up in grade for it. Boom Talk will appreciate getting back on firmer ground, but obviously Shin jumping off to ride War Machine is a push within itself. And then the two at odds, I think that are great chances, or at least each way chances, of Machelate, who just continues to race so well. Does have obviously that wide barrier to contend with, which isn't great, but is in career best form for Sarah Ryan. And the other one is Willado, who I think you can be completely forgiving of the last start run in that Doncaster prelude. Has been back to the trials and drawn really nicely with Jason Collette in the saddle. Personally, great race. I will be backing War Machine. However, I think Rise at Dawn, I Know A Star, Willado, and Machelate are ripping chances and should be in your quaddy numbers. Now, around the grounds, Randwick Race 4, Hertzville, Zagreb. I'm going here on potential and not on ratings as such. I think he's on his way to Queensland to contest the Derby. Handles heavy going, which he'll get on Saturday, and I actually don't mind that inside draw, where I think he can probably park in a little bit closer in run, and hopefully Zach Lloyd can find that better ground. The other one is Sandown at Race 7, Otago. Now, Mick Price was open in saying he needed the run first up off the long layoff, and he's run super. I think he'll take huge benefit from that run. Minor query that he will be flat second up, but I think he'll be fine. Gets Mellum. A lot to like about him there. The other one, which is my best value for the weekend, is Sandown Race 8, Red Galaxy. Concede ELU deserves to be favourite and has a clear ratings advantage over everything else in this race. But I just think Red Galaxy is a very, very good horse on the rise, and I would love to spec him at odds around that 1x3 play. Drops 5.5 kilos off that run there at Sale. Good second up record. Draw is great to park just midfield, and I think he'll be in that finish of that race. Now the next two I've got, they're both maidens, so be cautious with them. So I wouldn't be launching into them, but I'm very keen on both of them off their jump outs. Wodonga race 1, Impending War, and Wodonga race 2, Charismatic with a K. Now, given the fact that there's not much going on tomorrow for me in terms of bets, I will be going to Sunday for some tips. So Sunday, we've got Ballarat race 3, Chantilly, another one who's trialled up like a jet. I think she's going to be a great ripping chance there. And then we're going to Sha Tin. So Sha Tin race 1, Quick Money, Sha Tin race 8, Dubai Honor, and Sha Tin race 11, Akash Vani. So there's no odds, obviously, out for those Sunday races. So obviously bet accordingly. You take a good, good odds about it. Take the price, and let's hope that it rolls in. $100 strategy. We're going $20 on Hertzville Zagreb. Randwick race 4 at $4.80. $7.50 each way on Red Galaxy. Sandown race 8 at $11 and $3 the place. $27.50 on War Machine. Doomben race 9 at $4. And then $37.50 on Otago. Sandown race 7 at $2.45. Now, if you have a problem with gambling, please visit Gambling Help Online or call 1-800-858-858 for free and confidential support. And I do apologize again for my voice being a bit croaky, my constant coughing and sneezing, and my general health over this podcast. But hopefully there's a few winners in here for everyone, and I'll be back hopefully well next week to preview the next round of the Queensland Carnival. Have a good night.